Peyton Manning has been doing this professionally for almost 20 years now, and for him, he knows one way of living his life. Monday through Sunday, for 17 weeks a year, he prepares for the upcoming Sunday. He's not accustomed to a different lifestyle, so it's not just walking away from the games on Sunday. It's walking through the grind that Peyton seems to crave and savor more so than perhaps any other athlete right now in sports that he would be walking away from as well. This is not easy, even if it may seem like that for us.
That's Field the Eights on ESPN's NFL Live earlier, talking about the point that Brandon Stokley has been making throughout the week. Not as easy a decision, not as cut and dried as we might suspect, involving Peyton Manning and all that is going on around the starting quarterback for the Super Bowl 50 champion, Denver Broncos. Sandy Clough, Brandon Stokley, Dr. Rick Perea
joining us
on this Thursday afternoon. It seems like it has been months.
Because,
in fact, it has been months since we last
enjoyed
your company.
Yeah, it's been a journey through the playoffs, Super Bowl, Miami, Combine. And now Saturday I'm headed down to spring training. So it's been a run.
Sam. You're a man for all seasons.
There you go, baby.
Absolutely. You're leaving for Scottsdale on Saturday, and we'll get to that in a little while. But this Broncos season, from your perspective, and you've been a performance psychologist performing around the league with a number of players, a number of teams, coaches. You've been on the college scene, of course. Around a couple of champions, Alabama and the Broncos.
Yeah.
Tell us about that a little bit, because both have won championships since last we saw you.
Yeah.
Well, why did they win?
I'd love to say it's because of me, Sandy.
Of course it was.
But I know there's a piece in there that has to do with interdependence. The stuff that I do, obviously the stuff the coaches do and the players do. But, you know, the mental part is so important for performance. And I think so many people don't understand or take into consideration how simple it really is. You know, Brandon, you know as a former player that, you know, your body just doesn't deploy itself out there. You have to prepare yourself mentally. But very few teams teach their players how to prepare their mind. You know, you hear coaches say, okay, let's get our mindset right. Well, how do you do that? Okay, let's focus. Well, how do you do that? And so what we do is we teach teams protocols and practices of how to get their mind right, because we have a saying that says, as above is below. That means if you're good here, the rest will follow. And there's not enough people out there that are doing this. And ironically, the people that are, i.e. Denver, Alabama, you can go on and on, look what the results
are. They're winning championships. And I really wish, Dr. Rick, that I had a psychologist whenever I played. I'm telling you, because it's such a big part of the game mentally when things aren't going well, and even when things are going great for
you
need somebody like yourself. But
absolutely,
I never had that luxury. Give me one sport that you think needs a psychologist the most. What sport is the most messed up in the head?
Baseball.
Why?
Well, because think of it, when you go to the plate, if you're one of the best hitters in the world, 7 out of 10 times you're going to walk away with not your desired result. You know, I hear baseball players say, oh, I failed at the plate. I said, no, you didn't fail at the plate, because you can get a read on that pitcher. Now, if you got a different pitcher, you got to start over. But you can take things away from every at-bat to make you better. But even if you're one of the best, 7 out of 10 times you come away with a disappointment. What do you do with that disappointment? How do you regulate arousal, which is increased heart rate, increased respiration, muscle tension? Remember, muscle tension, if you're a baseball hitter and you have muscle tension, you don't want that. And then anxiety. And there's somatic, which is body, and cognitive, which is thinking. So teaching hitters to regulate arousal and anxiety and flush away the last at bat if they striked out is imperative for performance in baseball.
We're around a team this year that certainly had its ups and downs, its peaks and valleys. How were they able to manage it, from your perspective, to rise up at exactly the right time?
Yeah.
Because sometimes seasons, wins and losses, it's about winning the right games, losing the games you can afford to lose, but finding a way to peak. And that was the whole thing of the Broncos season compared to the previous ones, where they had been peaking too early.
Right.
Why this year did they peak at the right time when in the previous years, in 2012 it was December, in 2013 it was November, in 2014 it was October. This year it looked for the longest time like maybe September might be their best month, and then all of a sudden they found something.
Yeah.
Maybe not even in December, but in January, sure, as the playoffs were going on, they found something they hadn't had previously.
Right. I think the reality is that we have a linear model called form, storm, norm, and perform. And storming happens during the season. You kind of figure out where you're at. Norming is when you start to get into grooves. And then performing is what you want to do in the playoffs heading into the Super Bowl for a football team. I think the Denver Broncos, from top to bottom, for the first time understood that they had to get themselves in the right spot to peak and hit the performance level of that model at the right time. I think we saw with John Fox that sometimes I think he hit that a little bit too early. And Adam Gase is a client of mine, and I've talked to Gase a lot about this, how you get a team performing at the right time and peaking at the right time. So I think for the Broncos, I think the administration understood that. I think the coaching staff understood that. And I know clearly in my work, and I want to be really clear what I do. I work with them and I work with their players, but I'd never tell about anything I work specifically with them or specifically who did this or that. But I was able to get them, the players that I worked with, in the right spot and educate them about this model. That, you know what, we want to be peaking in January. Early January is when we're hitting our stride and we're performing at peak levels. And it's not just physiologically, it's psychologically. And I can tell you this, behind the scenes, and Brandon, you know this, behind the scenes of any football team, there's a lot of hiccups. There's a lot of bumps in the road. You may be 7-0. You may be 12-2. You may be 14-3. But there are some hiccups behind the scenes that need to be regulated, that need to be taken care of. And that's why I think performance psychology, and I'll differentiate that from sport, because all people are performers, and we work with all types of performers. That's where performance psychology's future is not addressing the pathological. I can't locate my pitch. I have a hard time coming back from an injury. It's how do I go from here to here, improving what I already know. That's where performance psychology comes in. It helps players understand how to perform at peak levels, when to turn it on to the peak levels, when to regulate their arousal and anxiety so they can perform at peak levels. I can tell you this. I had more calls and texts Saturday night, the night before the game, of people saying to me, I've never played in a SB. What do I do? I'm feeling hot. I'm feeling high arousal, high anxiety. I was up till 1 or 2 in the morning with my texts just getting people regulated. But I'll tell you what, apparently it worked. And the players that are willing to use this stuff, Sandy, their performance took off this season.
Do you work with youth sports? Have you seen an increase in, my oldest son plays youth sports, and it's crazy the amount of money and the amount of effort and time that parents put into youth athletics. Are you seeing kids? Do you work with youth athletic groups?
Yes, absolutely, Brandon. I that's one of the areas I'm really passionate about, because I have a daughter who played soccer at Cherry Creek and then played at Arizona State. And one of the most prolific scorers in this state that we've ever seen. But, you know, what's funny, about 2 years ago, I was framing a picture of hers, and I was telling her, you know, honey, it's been great watching your career. And she looked at me and she says, you know what, Dad? It has been great, but it's also been a challenge. And I said, what do you mean, honey? And she says, you know, Dad, almost after every game, even if I scored a hat trick, you'd come up to me and say, great job, honey, but if you would have just done this, you could have had another goal. She says, you always had another little piece to add, another little instruction to add, and it was never enough that you just would come up and say, great job, honey, and walk away. And here's the key with that, Brandon. We think that's no big deal, but for them, it's cumulative, and it builds up. And so for her, she said, Dad, I never felt good enough. This is coming from someone who was an All-American. She never felt good enough. I walked away feeling about this tall, about an inch tall, and I realized at that point I had to impact youth sport in the future in some way. So we speak nationally on this topic.
So you work with parents?
Absolutely.
As well as kids?
Absolutely. Parents, Brent, to be honest
with you, probably work harder with parents.
Right, yeah.
I mean,
people
come into us and say, you know, my son is struggling with confidence in basketball. 70% of the time, there's something going on with the parents. It's not necessarily the athletes
themselves.
The parents
are screwed up.
There you go.
Sandy Clough, Brandon Stokely, the good Dr. Rick Perea back with us in studio for this hour, because there's never an off season for Talking Broncos on Denver Sports Station, Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Denver Sports Station, Sports Radio, 104.3 The Fan, Sandy Clough, Brandon Stokely, Dr. Rick Perea in studio. And when we look back at the Broncos, one of the thrilling things about the Broncos winning this year, to me, centered on the idea that they were so clearly a flawed team at various junctures along the way, and particularly flawed on the offensive side of the ball. And whether you're talking about any of the position groups, really, they all had some issues, from the receivers to the offensive linemen to the running backs to the quarterbacks who were switched back and forth. And with so much of an opportunity for things to go off track, how do you deal with people who aren't just imagining that things are going wrong? Things are really actually going wrong.
Yes.
And somehow you have to keep them going, whether right. you're a coach or an administrator, part of the staff, you're yes. a teammate. How did the offense maybe not flourish this year, but survive
right.
this year through some fairly obvious flaws and shortcomings?
Yeah, and this goes really for not only Denver's offense, but any offense out there, defense, anyone who's performing. There's a couple protocols we teach athletes. They're called psychological skills training. Number one is focusing on process instead of outcome. Too many of us think about, I got to catch this pass. I got to make this completion. I got to score here. Whatever it is, that's outcome. We do research on this, guys, and I'll tell you what, anxiety goes through the ceiling when you think of outcome goals. When you think of process goals, footwork, technique, I can control that 100%. You know, I used to play linebacker, and if I focus on my footwork, hand placement, shedding blocks, I can control that all day. But I can't control, I got to get 3 sacks today. I got to get 10 tackles today. And that's what I used to do in college. I used to say I had to get 10 tackles, 2 sacks. I already had a refrigerator of expectations. So being able to focus on process instead of outcome is key. The other thing is focusing on what's relevant cue. We teach players what's a relevant cue on each play. Then that will automatically filter out irrelevant cues. So instead of letting all these thoughts bleed into your head, we call that cognitive anxiety, you focus on a few relevant cues, and that will automatically filter out what's irrelevant. And if you teach athletes to do this in a protocol setting, and you teach them to do it through imagery and some of the techniques we have, like with our flotation tank and our biomats and things like that, it reaches not only the mind but the body. Because I'm telling you where psychology is going really fast, and that's the mind-body interaction. We have a lot of techniques that we can incorporate, the chakras, the meridians in the body, with tap therapy, with acupressure, to really help athletes regulate anxiety so they can perform to their true potential.
I mean, that's great. Where were you when I played? Seriously, all those things that you were talking about. I mean, right. I had very high anxiety. You start thinking about the outcome and what you have to do, yeah. and it just weighs on you. We've got some texts, and a lot of people are asking about a guy like Demaryius. And I've been through that kind of situation
right.
one year where I just struggled catching the football, and it became more of a mental thing.
No. Sure.
I didn't have somebody like your service, and you kind of went over some of the things that you would tell somebody like that, and I think it would have been great for like a Demaryius. I don't know, you know, I'm not asking you if he did see you, if you would see him. Obviously, you know, you work for the Broncos, but some of the things that you would tell somebody like that, or somebody like me,
sure.
that's just struggling with catching the football. And that's yeah. what I've done all my life.
Right.
And that's the one thing I've been great at. But after I dropped a couple of them, that's all I started thinking about.
Right. Well, see, here's the key, Brandon, is that unfortunately a lot of coaches do not get taught how to teach the game from the mental perspective.
Right.
You know, they're taught, I mean, they learn technique, they learn all the process orientation physiologically, but they're not taught psychologically. And I think that's really a shame, because what we need to understand, the mental part is really simple. It's really simple. When I visit with head coaches in the NFL, and I just left Miami talking to Gase about the Dolphins, and when you explain it in real simple terms, they're like, are you kidding? That's all they got to do? Like you mentioned about receiving the ball. Because, I mean, it is. It's using, focusing on relevant cues, and it filters out. It automatically does. Filters out what's irrelevant, and when you focus on process. And when you have those cues, when you're standing at the line of scrimmage as a receiver, you go through that in your mind, and it keeps you focused on what's important.
Right.
Because, you know, again, it's the same with a quarterback. A quarterback, you know, I talked to probably 7 NFL quarterbacks in the last week, and so many of them will say, I got to, you know, what's going through your head? I got to make this completion. We got a score here. That's outcome.
Right.
Anxiety goes up. Anxiety goes up, increased heart rate, increased respiration, muscle tension. You don't want that as a quarterback. So we have got to understand, not only in football, and as you know, Sandy, we've talked a lot about this, volleyball, soccer, golf, baseball. We've got to understand how important the mental process is to perform at peak levels. The key is we have a lot of coaches out there that don't want to let this in, and I understand. Because 9 out of 10 psychologists, I don't get along with them either, to be quite honest with you. They tend to be very stoic people, and they're in their own head. I understand that. But we got to do a better job in our industry at reaching athletes where they are, helping them become what they're truly meant to be. Because the most tragic thing is, Brandon, is to think you go out there year after year and you deploy 70% of who you're meant to be because you haven't done the checkup from the neck up in an appropriate manner.
A lot of people, ourselves included, marveled at the performance of this defense this year. And you had a chance to observe not only how they played, but how they were prepared. And the story of Wade Phillips, I think, is the most remarkable individual story of the Broncos.
I agree.
In 2015/16. We'll talk about that a little bit with Rick Perea when we continue. Rick Perea, the good doctor, in studio for the first time in quite some time.
Good
but
stuff.
Looking back on championship seasons that Rick was very much a part of pertaining to Alabama and the Broncos. And you'll be headed for Scottsdale. We'll talk a little baseball as well. And I also want to talk when we come back about a device you brought in today that you had Brandon and I without any idea what we were doing.
I was nervous. I'm telling
we
you.
We thought we were going to be electrocuted.
First
to
time
be honest
I met you, and I didn't know you that well to grab hands and with that thing in the middle of us.
More with a good doctor next.
It's just very clear. You understand that this is what it is. Brock is going to be the quarterback. They know that. I think that Peyton is waiting on some other things that may occur out there before he makes his decision. But I don't think it has anything to do with Denver. I think whatever it is that's going to take place, it's going to happen. And I would imagine that it's being coordinated between the Broncos and between Peyton Manning's camp as well.
That's LeVar Arrington talking on the NFL Network about Brock Osweiler and how the Bronco future centers on Osweiler at quarterback. Sandy Clough, Brandon Stokely, Denver Sports Station, Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. And Dr. Rick Perea is our in-studio guest during this 2 o'clock hour. And, you know, we talked about it earlier, Dr. Perea, in the program today about how it is a rare thing, and Brandon played on the last Super Bowl team that switched quarterbacks the following year, switched out. And Brian Billick sort of admitting that was a mistake. Brandon has spoken very openly about how he thought that was a mistake. And you do have the chance to learn from history, and it's going back 15 years. But I think people now understand how I would hope they'd understand how that would be a mistake for the Broncos to go from whatever people thought the quarterback situation was last year to something wholly different with a Colin Kaepernick or with an RG3, that isn't a sensible alternative.
Right. Yeah. And the other thing you got to consider is what's already been accomplished with the guys that are here. There's been a lot of things that have been developed in some of the guys that are here now.
And right.
A lot of things are in place for them to perform at peak levels. So, yeah, I don't think that would be a good decision because, the guys they got here or the guy that got here, including Trevor, too, I mean, those guys are doing what they need to do, no doubt about it.
When you change that dynamic, especially at the quarterback position in that locker room, that's such a big aspect of winning,
yes.
Of camaraderie, of having a group of guys that are just willing to do anything for each other, and that's often overlooked.
Absolutely.
And I think you see more and more now teams doing bonding sessions and bonding things, and that's all about getting everybody together, you know, where you're willing to do whatever it takes for your brother next to you to win and to accomplish the ultimate goal. My question, Doc, I think you've seen throughout the years how teams have committed so much more resources into – weight training,
right,
and to dietary supplements and having a dietitian on staff. Have you seen throughout the years the stigma from having a psychologist on staff? How much has it changed? How much more does it need to grow? Because I really think that, you know, teams do not put enough emphasis in having players' mental games as sharp as the rest of their body.
Sure, sure. Yeah, no, that's a great question, Brandon, because here's what it breaks down to. For the last 100 years in psychology, we've studied pathology, meaning what's wrong with people. In the last 20 years, we've started to study what's right with people. You know, let's take a CEO. He's successful. She's successful. Well, what do they do every day? Let's study those people. Imagine that. We started studying successful athletes. What do they do? So we're now beginning to make a shift and understand, you know what? To see someone for mental performance, mental enhancement, whatever you want to call it, it's not pathologically based. It's performance based. And in fact, when someone calls me a sports psychologist, I always correct them. I say, no, I'm a performance psychologist. And even further, I'm a performance coach. I help you get where you need to be mentally. So helping athletes drop that stigma of, well, there must be something wrong if you see a doc, it's not true. But here's the key. The coaches, the administration, and those organizations have to set the climate and culture of that.
Right.
And if you see someone, again, I'll use Adam Gase, for example. He's 37 years old. He's the youngest coach in the NFL. He's the wolf climbing the hill. He's always trying to get better. And so a guy like that has no problems raising his hand and going, how do we get better? And if it's mentally, heck yeah, let's do it. So there's a lot of old school coaches in the league that still think it comes back to blocking and tackling. And it is that. I get that. But you're right, Brandon. It's so important to get the mental aspect from a performance perspective and not a pathological perspective. Because if you approach it from the pathological perspective, NFL teams, NBA teams, Major League Baseball, they will not buy in. You've got to come at it from the angle that you're performance-based and also that you can get along with the guys. You can get into the locker room. You can talk a little smack with them. Meet them where they're at. That's vital, too, because if you go in there on some other level, you'll get chewed up and spit right out.
That, I think that's a great point. You know, you're exactly right. You can't just go in there like you know everything and that, you know, you're just going to form a relationship with these guys just by a coach saying it. You got to go in that locker room and form that relationship outside of meeting these guys.
Absolutely. And I can tell you this. I mean, you know, obviously there's no names involved, but I have formed some really close relationship with players on this team. And I don't mean friendships because that's beyond my role. But I mean as a performance guy, them sharing some of their innermost, you know, fears, them sharing some of their innermost challenges, and then me helping them with their protocols and practices, and then watching them overcome it. Brandon, it's the funnest thing I've ever done in my life. I do backflips. They do backflips. Look what happens.
Right,
and
that's the only way that you can help somebody, right?
Because
if you have that relationship where they will really open up to you.
Yes.
With what they actually really need.
Absolutely.
That's the only way.
And sometimes, Brandon, it has nothing to do with football. Nothing to do with football. It's something off the field. It's something we got to get straightened out in their scheduling and their organization, their practices and relationships, whatever it is. But we get that worked out. Guess what? They step on the field ready and focused, and they can perform at peak levels.
And you talk about people, and you mentioned Gase or Saban or Belichick, the Broncos organization,
sure,
and all the component parts who sometimes will come across publicly as guys who think they have all the answers.
Right.
When the truth is, they're the guys with the most questions.
Oh, they're the
right?
Yes. They're the first ones to raise their hand and say, can we get help? I mean, Saban's notorious for the morning after win national championships. He calls people in. Can we get some leadership in the spring? When can we get you in? I mean, those guys are the first ones to ask for help. And like I said, I think, you know, and I'll say this too about Elway. I think Elway is one of those guys too. He's a
yes,
forward-thinking guy. It's not like he really believes and he understands the mental approach to the game. So I think there are people out there, but there's got to be more people. And I think people like Adam Gase and the Elways of the world, they'll have success and people will say, well, what are they doing? Because I can tell you this. I work with coaches all over the league, Brandon, and it's funny for me because some of these guys are offensive coordinators, DCs, 50, 55, and they call me and they say, Doc, what's with Gase? Why does everybody want Gase? He's 37 years old. What the hell does he bring? And I tell him, you know what, buddy? It has nothing to do with football. It has nothing to do with X's and O's scheme. You know what? He walks into a building. He's got energy. He's got passion. He'll talk to the janitor for as long as he'll talk to the GM. It's who he is. He's because let's not forget this, Sandy. We're in the people business.
Yep.
Football is the people business. Basketball is the people business. We cannot forget these are human organisms, and we need to build them from a mental and a psychological perspective.
And I'll tell you what, that's one reason why Josh McDaniels failed here.
Yep.
Okay, in Denver. He wasn't
exactly
a people's
right.
person.
Exactly. Yep.
He thought he knew it, and it just it started and great, and it didn't work out for him.
It doesn't seem that way, but Belichick is.
Oh, yes. Yes, don't be fooled by those press conferences. Okay, you can see it when he kneels on his knees talking to the defense over there. He's making real connections. He's talking on a real humanistic level to those guys.
And a funny thing about McDaniels is now back in New England as a coordinator for a few years now again, a second stint there. He's a pretty good people person.
But right.
now,
he's changed. You can tell right. by the interviews that he has given, right. he is a changed person because he realized that's where he really
failed. He realized that's
where
he went wrong here.
Right, because he had such a disconnect from the people in the building
yeah.
and from his players that you can't do that if you're a head coach and be successful consistently. Now, Doc, most important question of the day right here. You ready for this?
Here we go,
okay,
baby.
What kind of advice would you give me? I'm on – I obviously don't play football anymore, but I love to golf.
Okay.
I love to golf. I'm on 18, got a few dollars on the line.
Okay.
And I hit my drive right down the middle of the fairway.
Yep.
Okay. Big second shot. And I'm in the middle of the fairway, and all these thoughts are coming in my mind. What's
yes.
on the line? You know, I'm tensing
right.
up. The shoulders are getting tense. I'm starting to breathe a little bit harder. What can you give me? How can you help me so this summer I don't shank that ball into the water?
Right. Well,
I hit it on the green.
Here's how simple it is, Brandon. You answered your own question.
Okay. When oh, you said, wow. Was it that
yeah,
easy? I don't need you,
yeah,
Doc.
Yeah, exactly. We're done.
All right, see ya.
Exactly. You said money's on the line. That's an irrelevant cue. That's outcome
but how do I,
based.
How do, but I'm I got to think about what's on the line. How do
no,
I not think about it?
No,
how do
don't.
I not
That's
think about that?
That's what you've been trained to believe you have to think about.
Okay.
What you need to think about is your process, your weight distribution, weight transfer, whatever. Two cues that you think of for your swing.
Right.
Money, outcome have nothing to do with it, Brandon.
So get rid
nothing.
Of that.
Get rid of that.
Okay.
Pick two relevant cues to focus on. Sandy can tell you. He's seen me golf. I never hit a bad shot, right, Sandy?
That's exactly.
But you focus on two relevant cues, Brandon. The rest get filtered out automatically. It's so simple. Most people say that can't be true. But it absolutely is. Because here's an example. Think of number 10. 1-0, okay?
Right.
Got it?
Yep.
Okay, now you got it in your head. No
yep.
matter what you do, don't think of Roman numeral 10. Don't think of Roman numeral 10, no matter what you do, okay? Guess what you just did.
You made me think about Roman numeral 10.
Exactly, because I said don't in front of it. You know what? We tell quarterbacks all the time, don't turn it over. Don't throw it into double coverage. You know what? Guess what? Now their brain's going to pay special attention to that because since we were kids, our brain's been conditioned. Look both ways. Don't cross the street without looking both ways. Don't put your hand on a hot stove. Now, our brain's been conditioned to don't. Pretty soon, Brandon, we're walking around in life, what the heck can I do? And we walk on eggshells. That's where anxiety comes from, somatic, which is body, cognitive, which is thinking.
I love it. I'm telling you. I think that might change my – I might actually win money this year on the golf course.
But, see, Sandy, my
you
question is how much
take,
is that worth? Is that $500?
Well, I was just going to say
– I got a dollar
I
for
will
you,
caddy
Doc.
For you, and he can be your advisor from a psychological, spiritual point of view.
I don't win enough money to have both of y'all on the golf course
well,
with
we'll,
me.
Well, we'll take 15% of your winnings.
Okay.
And if you have no winnings, we get nothing.
I think it's going to be a profitable golf summer for me. If I can ever get away from here and get on the golf course.
You can
ever
get away from me.
I got a job
now. That's right. 303-228-1043 on the phones. If you want to jump in, we have one segment left with Dr. Ripper. A few things to get into, including, I will get into this device you brought in today that almost electrocuted us earlier on here on Denver Sports Station, Sports Radio, 104.3 The Fan. Dr. Rick Perea, our in-studio guest for this final hour. Sandy Clapp, Brandon Stokely, Denver Sports Station, Sports Radio, 104.3 The Fan. All right, before we go any further, tell us about this device you brought in today, and you're taking it to spring training here in a couple of days, too, I trust.
Yeah, it's a bioenergetic energy stick, which helps you understand how much electricity we actually have running through our bodies. So I had Sandy touch one end, I touch one end. Brandon held hands with Sandy, and then I held hands with Brandon, and then it lit up, made a noise. And I showed him how we have that electrical charge in our body, because a lot of people don't realize we have meridians and chakra energy in our body that we don't regulate. And so we have energy fields in our body, and that's part of the how the Chinese used acupuncture for thousands of years. And so as psychologists, we're always thinking of a way, how do we plug in? It's not just mental, it's the physical. I mean, they're all connected, brain stem, spinal cord, central nervous system. And if you don't address human performance from a holistic, meaning the mind and the body, you're missing the boat.
Can you get these Rockies pitchers together?
I'm going to do it.
You're
going to get them together, and we're all going to hold hands. And we're going to light up that stick, and we're going to reach higher levels of electricity, which is going to do a great job at down at Blake Street. So I'm excited.
I love it. I love it. Now, Doc, I mean, a lot of listeners out there right now, they're trying to, you know, put two and two together. Do you have a book? Have you written a book? You thinking about it?
Yeah.
If you don't, like,
or a good book to read?
Yeah, maybe something to read or somewhere to go online and find some more information to help people out that are in their cars right now.
Yeah. No, I'm working on a book right now with a couple other authors, and we're doing it on leadership and also anxiety and how that influences leadership. But they can go to my website has articles that I write all the time. So we're DK2 Motivation. And if they just look up DK and the number 2 Motivation, they'll know. But there's a lot of articles there, and we address that. You know, it's arousal and anxiety, people. If you can regulate that, man, I don't care if you're a dentist, a CEO, a radio show host, a mom or dad. Heck, my biggest challenge is when my three boys get going, I got to regulate my anxiety so I don't turn into a football coach.
So you're not just working with professional professional athletes.
No.
You're working with the everyday parent that has a kid in school, kid in sports.
Yes.
I got to see you, Doc. I mean, you got time for me?
You got to come see our office, because we got a sensory deprivation tank I want you to float in. You cover that lid.
I haven't floated in the tank yet,
What's the rate on that tank? Do I get a good deal?
Don't worry, man. I'll take care of it.
Okay.
I'll take care of it.
Hell yeah. Awesome. All right. You're my guy.
We touched on it earlier. Watching Wade Phillips connect with his defense this year, and perhaps not being able to break down why that relationship worked so well himself. But I know he was told, perhaps even by you at various points of the season, you know what, whether you know you're doing it or not, you're connecting with these guys in a magnificent and very special way.
Oh, you know, Sandy, to watch Wade Phillips connect with those guys, to watch that defense just go to bat for him, fight for him. There were so many connections on that defense. I can't go through them all, but I can tell you this. When we think about performance, so often we think about size. You know, we just got back from the combine. How fast? How tall? How strong? And don't get me wrong, that's important. But golly, if we can understand how important human connection is with changing our mood on the field, in the pool, on the court, whatever we do, that defense, there wasn't a brotherhood. It was a love. There was a love within that defense that was undeniable. And, you know, to watch Wade dance at practice, you know, when guys are playing music and Vaughn's over there doing his moves, that's human connection. That's the highest level of performance. Sandy, we call it task, means everyone does their job, task cohesion. Social cohesion is when people play for each other. There's a love for each other. And I've heard some sound bites of Vaughn saying he'll do anything to stay here. I know why, man, because there is a cohesion on that team that's hard to deny. As a former player, I just look at that team and I'm in, man, if I could have ever played as part of a defense like that, it's so much fun just to be around it. But it's all energy-based. It's all positive energy-based, and they believe in each other, they love each other, and they trust each other. And when you learn to trust yourself and love yourself, that's the only time you can trust and love others, and that defense did it. And that's why they performed at high levels. I got that they got high-level players, but the most important thing about that defense was the social cohesion that they played beyond their potential.
That's good stuff. We got a great text here, Doc, and I got to ask you, the Avs situation. Their goalie just got benched. How does that mentally affect the team as a whole?
To a tremendous degree, because they're not sure why. Now, here's the key. Again, I don't know Patrick Waugh. I've heard him speak. But understanding how to get your players in the right mindset is vital every day. And again, it's really simple. It's not laying on the couch. It's not analysis of your childhood and all those things. It's just understanding how to accept the protocols. When the players see their keeper or their goalie benched, then that has an impact on them. that impacts that social cohesion. Now we got one of our warriors with us isn't on the ice anymore, so it does impact them. But see, that's what a performance psychologist does. They're there to smooth through those situations,
right,
and help the team build that cohesion behind the scenes.
I told you this before off the air, and I was half kidding, but I say it's nothing personal against Varlamov, but he is the most confounding performer I have ever seen in sports, because he is alternately brilliant.
Let's set it up.
And
let's
horrendous.
Set up the appointment now.
Brilliant and horrendous. There is literally nothing in between.
Right.
In terms of his night-in, night-out performance.
Right.
And here's Patrick Waugh, who said the other day, and I believe fully understands, that every goaltender in the history of the game goes through peaks and valleys.
Sure.
Even within the course of a single season.
Oh, you bet.
But this guy's off the charts. Brilliant, horrendous, and nothing in between.
Yeah, and that's sad, because he doesn't have to live his life that way. He does not have to live that way, Sandy. The brilliance can be more consistent. He can filter out some of those down, those valleys. We can teach him how to use those protocols to do it, and he can be much more consistent, which is going to elevate the team's performance overall. I'm telling you, people, this is research and evidence-based. This isn't voodoo. This isn't something that just came on into our head the other day. It's all research and evidence-based, and we stand behind it 100%.
All right, you made a new fan in Stoke.
Yeah, I'm coming to see you.
Both ways, brother.
I got to give a shout-out before we end this show to Sue Ariana. We lost her Saturday. A great Bronco fan. You will be missed.
Mm. Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. It's been a pleasure. It's been far too long, but we know now you're a busy guy because you're a big star.
Well,
and
you
have not forgotten us.
You made me, Sandy.
There we go.
Lower
All right.
Level people along the way
who
have given you some access. No, we haven't given you your wisdom. You've got
Da-da-da-da.
That all. But you're a big star now,
no.
And you still came by and found time for us today, and we're very thankful.
No, I'm still a small guy. I'm just a squirrel trying to get a nut. This is your world, Sandy.
I'm coming to see you, Doc.
Hey, buddy. Love it. Love it.
All right. That's Dr. Rick Perea, Sandy Clough, Brandon Stokely. We'll see you tomorrow. Brandon will be at the Blake Street Tavern. You'll love the big
Can't
house
wait.
On Blake.
Can't wait.
You'll be the Big House on Blake with me from noon until 3. The Drive is next. Big Al and D-Mac standing by, because there's never an off season for Talking Broncos on Denver Sports Station, Sports Radio, 104.3 The Fan.